It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. The holidays are up on us, and some people have a really hard time handling the holidays because they are grieving, and we are going to be talking about that today. My guests are Dr. Elizabeth Hart. She's a family physician with additional board certifications in hospice and palliative medicine and geriatrics. She's a certified hospice medical director and director of medical services at Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice. And she brought with her Karen Flynn, who's an RN, and she's the director of hospice and palliative care, also at Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice. Thank you both so much for being here, for driving up from Androscoggin today. I really appreciate it. This topic, the holidays are so joyful, but that can be tainted if someone has lost someone that they love, regardless of how long ago that was. How is the best ways, and I know it's different for everyone, but how does someone reconcile that as the holidays start, probably starting with Halloween, knowing that that's going to come? Dr. Hart, what do you see?
Well, I think you just identified the key is that it's different for everyone. And I think to not have expectations about what grief should be look like and to be patient with our own grief, and whether that's anticipating loss and we have somebody who's sick now and we're anticipating their loss or dealing with a loss from a long time ago, that one of the most important things is that we're patient with our own process, that we give ourselves space and emotional room for what our grief is like. So if we're supporting someone who's grieving, or if we're grieving ourselves, to not have fixed expectations of what that should be, to realize that grief can have unpredictable natural rhythms and can ebb and flow. And we do think that we should work through a process and get to a point where we're no longer grieving, and that can sometimes really be challenging for people. So I think the most important thing we can do in supporting our loved ones who are grieving or thinking about our own is checking in with where we are about this and understanding how that experience of loss is affecting us.
There is the stages of grief from the book. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, I think, wrote the book. Do you find that people read that and then they put a timeline for themselves over stage one, stage two, I've got to get through it and this is how it works and then I should be done?
I'm not sure it's so much whether people have read Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's book or just aware of the work that people talk about the stages of grief, and then that we have societal expectations that we say, you know, grief is complicated if it lasts more than 6 months, or grief is complicated because you're not getting back to your normal routine. And then the arbitrary time issues that come up, that workplace bereavement is almost always, you know, the people get 3 days off for bereavement time. So I think it's not so much that we've necessarily read that, but that we have expectations in our culture about getting through a grief process and not appreciating that sometimes it can be a very fluid process, that we can have lost somebody many years ago and we'll see something in the supermarket they love to eat and realize that we're still missing them and realize that we're still tearing up. So I think it's a very interactive, dynamic process and really depends a lot about the relationship, the loss, and the other pieces of your life in terms of support and how you're making peace with that loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I think that what we see, having been in hospice for 30 years, is that it starts with giving oneself permission to feel what you feel. We live in a very fast-paced culture. You know, you're supposed to get over things quickly, but the reality is as Elizabeth has said, it's very individual. And it's very tempting to try to overcome it by staying busy, by going to parties, by just filling up every single second. But what we have realized working with people after loss is that it's important to take the time to just do an inventory, to sort of assess oneself where they're at and what's pushing their buttons. And then not only just to assess it, but to honor it. So you'll see a lot of times that managing grief around the holidays within our world of hospice and palliative care is really about honoring it and giving the people that we serve an opportunity to express it. And that can be anything from attending grief groups to special events. Three weeks ago, we did a Meals and Memories group on a weekend where our bereavement coordinator invited people in the community that had experienced loss, some very recent and some within years, to come in and share their loved one's favorite dish and do a sort of a potluck smorgasbord. And what happened was that you ended up with 15 different families there sharing a particular dish, but more importantly, sharing the memory, and even more importantly, reducing some of that sense of isolation that it's just me. So I always feel like the most important advice I could ever give anybody is to lean into their feelings, to honor them, to not try to avoid them or distract from them. And that way you have the ability to weave new traditions around the holidays and stay really true to how you're celebrating or grieving the loss of someone you've loved.
That's such a lovely event. Do you find that people feel guilty if they've lost a loved one quite a while ago, years ago, but they still have this residual grief that maybe they feel guilty they're not over it yet, or that societally their friends and family are thinking, why aren't you over this yet?
I think they may feel guilty. They may feel embarrassed. They may feel that our world doesn't have room for their pain and I should be over this. And I think that's a very important piece for those of us who are supporting people who are grieving to say it's not about shoulds. As Karen said, it's leaning into your emotion and understanding that it is a huge loss. One of my mentors in geriatrics framed it that relationships don't end when people die. They change to a relationship with memories and stories. And often if people haven't had a chance to cultivate that relationship with the memories and the stories, that loss can feel very immediate and very real many, many years later. And so what we need to be able to give people an opportunity to say that person is still with me, but with me in a different way, and make it so that the grief may be less raw and less immediate, but to honor the depth of that relationship, which is still very real to them.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's very fair to say that when you love and you lose somebody through death, that you aren't the same person. You know, I think there's this expectation that, you know, and as Elizabeth said, when you follow these steps, that you get to a certain step and now everything's all better. And it might be better, but you're still a different person. Death and dying and being accompanying the journey that people have, or even just dealing with a sudden death, you're not going to be the same person. That doesn't mean you're less than. It means that you're changed and it's an altered relationship, as Dr. Hart was saying. So it's more about trying to shift grief and see the other side of it, which is celebrating how powerful love is. I've always said the stronger the love and the stronger the relationship, the more intense that loss is going to feel and that separation is going to feel. The other thing I might add is that, you know, we also lose people that we've had broken relationships with. And so there was some mention about, you know, pathological grieving. Grieving does take many, many different designs, but we also have to honor the fact that we have different relationships with different people. And so we see just as many people that didn't have a good relationship struggle. And that takes them by surprise. Somebody that's been estranged from a parent or a sibling, that sibling dies, and the next thing you know, they're feeling chaotic and upset and unsettled, and that takes them by surprise. So there's many different factors that weigh into how people are going to experience that grief.
And that is so true that when there's unfinished business or words that haven't been shared and stories that haven't been told is often when the grief can be most complicated and can linger for the longest, and it still needs that outlet. So that having opportunities to tell the stories that keep somebody with us in their heart, even if there have been also hard moments in that relationship, but what were the parts that you want to carry with you, and what are the stories that the surviving members can share together to say this person is a part of my life and always will be, and how to incorporate that relationship into your life currently in a way that you can feel at peace with.
If someone's being told or asked, why aren't you over this yet? It's been so long. What do you think would be an appropriate response from the person who's grieving? You don't want to be mean, and yet the other person just clearly doesn't understand. How should someone handle that?
I think to be able to be honest about the depth of the relationship and how that person is still a part of your life. I think Karen's wording about accepting that we change when we lose someone. I had a friend who lost a child who was an adult child when he died, but parents never get over the loss of a child. And she said she was so frustrated with people coming up and saying, "You're better, you seem better." And she said, "I'm not better, I'm different." And giving herself permission to say, "This is not something I'm ever going to get over, but I'm going to be able to move on in my life in a way that honors the depth of my relationship with my son."
Yeah, and I don't think that it's a point of contention as much as a point of misunderstanding. When people say things, it's usually well-intended, you know, and they just want to be helping somebody move on. But I do think that a gentle response can be, is very similar to what Dr. Hart just said, which is that, you know, this is who I am, and this, I'm changed, and I'm doing the best I can. But also addressing the fact that people say that because they're uncomfortable. And so inviting that person to say, you know what, I'd rather spend some time remembering and talking about my daughter or my friend than getting over it. Because I think people say those things specifically because they're uncomfortable.
And they want it to be the way it was before.
Correct.
Because they don't know how to handle this now. That makes perfect sense.
Right.
The number to call if you have any interest in talking to either one of my guests is 207-777-7740. I love your phone number. 777-7740. You can talk to Karen or Dr. Hart. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Grief and the Holidays. People, well, I hate to say they should do anything because we're so surrounded by shoulds in our society and what we think we should do. But this one holds, really should be easy on themselves and not expect too much from themselves at the holidays or any time surrounding that they've lost someone that they care about. I think that's the message both of you were putting out there during the first segment. Some coping tips for the holidays as we're a couple of weeks out from Christmas and other holidays. So setting realistic expectations for someone, for themselves, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think that it's acknowledging that something has changed, that it's not going to be the same, and setting that as an intention. So you may still have your traditions, but it's going to bring out different emotions in you, and then intentionally making choices. So it may be a year that you decide to stay home for Christmas instead of going to family. It may be that you take a vacation and you do something intentional that's completely different than anything you've ever done before. I think it really starts with self-awareness and being honest with yourself, and then finding a way to communicate that to the people that are having expectations of you. Creating new traditions is probably a good thing, but if it's really a death that just happened, you may not have the energy to do that. It's an energetic shift, and it's an emotional experience. So depending on where the loss is, I think, again, it's the same advice to create something new, to honor what you can't do and be okay with that and be gentle with yourself.
And I think part of that setting realistic expectations is not expecting that we have to be perfect and that everything has to be the perfect Christmas that we've always created for our family, and for it to be something we can be honest with, that we can say, yes, we're going to do this. And we may have moments that we're tearful, and we may have moments that we're feeling that loss, and that's acceptable to be able to have tears in the midst of joy. My father died at Thanksgiving, and in my family, we always have a toast to those who are here and those who are not here. It's because we don't want to pretend that we're not feeling his absence. We do feel it, and that was a long time ago. So I think that permission for our joy and our grief to look different is okay. And also to know that the changing the tradition may be, as Karen said, creating a new tradition, but one that honors that person. So that we may be saying, yes, we miss, you know, your father's presence being the one who always carved the turkey. But what are we going to create in the next generation that honors what they learned from him? And to bring the other people in the room into relationship with the person who's lost by saying, what's the tradition that would really honor and respect them while also acknowledging that we're missing them?
Do you think that over time, some of the traditions change. So if someone's been gone 1 year or 5 years or 10 years, do the holidays still, again, depending on the person, evolve so they may never be the same as they were or even the same as they were the first year or second year?
I believe so. I think that people, and sometimes they need some help with that. So I think the other big tip is to ask for help, and whether that's going to a grief support group or a counselor or a trusted friend or a pastor, you know, a trusted person that you can pour your heart out to, being around other people that have experienced loss. I do think that new traditions take on new meaning. And so what I have seen and heard from people is that as the years go by, their celebrations actually have more beauty and more meaning because they've created different kind of rituals and ceremonies. And when you think about the Christmas holiday and the whole sense of the winter solstice of going into darkness but reemerging, there's so much beautiful symbolism that people can use to create something that has profound meaning. However, I would say that most people, particularly if it's a recent loss, they need some help with that. And there is, you know, if you go on any of community resources, there are lots of different opportunities through churches and through hospice programs for people to get together and have be around other people that are doing the same thing. So I think over time, the loss still stays very real, but there's some new beauty that's and new traditions that are connected to that.
Do you recommend people let themselves feel joy, or do they feel guilty if they're starting to feel a little happy and then feel guilty because they are still grieving?
I think it's important to remind ourselves and each other that the person we lost would want us to be feeling joy. And so even when somebody's actively dying in our hospice house, our hospice inpatient facility, we'll talk about that and say, your mom would want you to be enjoying your new grandchild. Your mom would want you to be taking good care of yourself. She would want you to be eating well and taking care of your family, and that the person we've lost would not want us to spend the rest of our lives completely enshrouded by grief, and to realize it's okay to integrate the joy and the grief together, and that those two can go hand in hand.
When we come back, we will offer up some more tips on how to survive grief during the holidays or in general. The number to call again if you want to talk to either Dr. Hart or Karen Flynn, 207-777-7740. We'll be back right after this. If you want to hear the show again, log on to WVOMFM.com and you can listen to it in podcast form. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Dr. Elizabeth Hart and Karen Flynn from Androscoggin Home Healthcare and Hospice. If you do want to reach the hospice program, 777-7740. Their hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. And if you call that number, ask to speak to someone in the hospice program. So in the time that we have left, let's talk about some more tips on ways people can really survive this, because there's a lot of celebrations and parties and family and busyness. How do you get through it all?
I think it's important to have opportunities to express gratitude and joy about the life of the person we've lost, and to have moments to say, I remember this incredibly wonderful moment, and I always want to keep that with me, because that's one of the ways we create a way for that person to always be with us, even when we're grieving. So to express gratitude for the years we have had together. I think it's important not to feel guilty when we can't enjoy the events we might have in the past, and to give ourselves permission to not always go to every single holiday party.
And maybe not be pressured, because some people might pressure, you'll feel better if you just get out. But that may not be the case.
I always like to think about being proactive and doing different things. So memory stockings, memory boxes, scrapbooks, doing things where you can pull out old photographs and put something together. These are tried and true ways that we sort of externalize the feelings that we're having and then actually have something that's memorable afterwards. Memory stocking could be the loved one's favorite things. There's just so many opportunities, lighting candles, saying prayers. Again, intentionality And creating some sort of a ritual or ceremony will help people through that. And then I also think that altruism is one of the best ways, and maybe not necessarily with death is very recent, but we have had so many of our hospice volunteers are people that volunteer to work on Christmas, to sing at Christmas in the hospice house, and it's really how they have processed their grief. And so they actually serve as role models. So many hospice volunteers come to us because they experienced the death of a loved one. They experienced what support can do. And it's very true with the holidays. If, you know, you can get outside of yourself, whether that's donating a gift to Salvation Army or doing something in that person's name, all of those things, little as they may be, can be very potent and powerful.
I would also really encourage people to ask their loved ones for help. And Karen mentioned where you can get professional support and organizations, but it's also important to know that the people who care about you want to help. And very often after a loss, somebody's like, I wish I knew what I could do, but they don't know. So being able to ask your loved ones, your friends, to say, this would really help me out. If you're always the one who always made the Christmas cookies and you don't feel like you can this year because you always made them with your sister and you're feeling her absence, it's okay to call another member of the family or a friend and say, hey, would you help out with this year? I just don't have the energy for it. And I'd like to support you and give you some of our recipes, but I just can't do what I've always done.
Do you think that it's a good idea to ask family members to share memories about that person and have this event where everyone can talk about the person so that nobody really feels as uncomfortable? Sometimes I think people don't want to mention it, almost as if they don't want to remind you that the person's gone, so they don't want to say, how are you doing? I know so-and-so has passed.
I think that person is with them, and to pretend that they're not can make it much more complicated and difficult. So even before somebody dies, we really encourage that, to start sharing those stories. What is it I'm going to remember that was my greatest joy, whether it's before they've passed or after they've died? To say, this is the way that they transform that relationship into one that's always in my heart. And I think not being open about grief can make it much, much more difficult.
I think that what you're saying, Carol, is particularly true when it's a young person that has died. So when you have, you know, somebody that it's a tragic death, a sudden death. I mean, all death is profound and is a loss. But we find that it's really difficult when it's something that took everybody by surprise, that people sort of go into their shell at a time when the people who have lost that person really need people to talk and remember. If you know somebody who's lost a child, they need to have memories. They appreciate that. We've had young people die and then really encourage the child's friends to come and visit the family. Life does go on, and it's much worse to be isolated with that type of grief.
Do you find, quickly before I have time, that support groups make a huge difference?
Yes, I think people feel so alone in their pain and their suffering, no matter the cause. And the more we can share our grief with others, the less that we're going to feel alone.
Dr. Elizabeth Hart, Karen Flynn, thank you so much for being here. This has been wonderful information. And again, the number is 777-7740. Ask to speak to someone from the hospice program if you want information about support. Again, numbers Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.